Oh my goodness, Irene. It is episode 32. 32, I think.
Is it really? Wow.
It is. I'm pretty sure. Let me check. Tonight's episode is going to be a little different for you listeners. We're going to just talk about our podcast, talk about horticultural therapy, and celebrate National Horticultural Therapy Week, and which is, we're in it. We are in the midst of it. It is, what did it start? The 19th?
March 19th to March 25th, I believe.
Yep, and it always falls on the spring equinox, which was yesterday. So,
well, it was. So this is what's funny is that yesterday, I hear today is the official first day of spring.
Must be, right? Because
yeah,
yesterday happened and then today's the first full day, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But technically they said yesterday was first day of spring or first or like spring equinox.
Yes, the spring equinox. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what National Horticulture Therapy Week falls on. Here in the
U.S. It seems fitting, especially for those of us who are like, you know, in the Northeast where spring equinox is such a exciting time for us to have hope for verdant colors.
I know. I went upstairs today in just a sweatshirt. It was so nice. You hear the birds chirping. You hear, you know, it's so nice to have spring come and love all the spring ephemerals. I'm in love with like trilliums and all the spring ephemerals. And I can't wait for our walk at the Garden in the Woods.
Yeah. So
speaking of NEHTN and other regional groups, we're going to do a shout out to all of them as well. NEHTN, we celebrated National Horticultural Therapy Week. Excuse me, I need some more coffee, even though it's 8 o'clock at night. We kicked off HT Week on Sunday for a virtual gathering. We did a virtual workshop all about orchids. I did a hands-on workshop with the participants, and they brought their own orchids. We talked about mainly Phalaenopsis and Ophidical orchids, but we did kind of put in there a little bit about the native orchids we have and like how you can see them at CNBG. You can see them at a Garden in the Woods. And like other places like the Escobaga up in Vermont. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of did a little bit of thing about that. And then we did a hands-on workshop because orchids are, it is the flower of the year, I believe, for the National.
It's the flower of the which?
Flower of the year. It's the flower.
Oh, flower of the year. Oh,
according to the National Gardening
Year. Oh, well, that probably explains why I've been seeing it on social media everywhere.
See, listeners, this is what happens when Irene and I don't have guests to focus on. We just go off on these little tangents. Oh, but
okay, back to it.
So we had a virtual kickoff. I think the Mid-Atlantic Matin had one down at NYBG. I'm pretty sure I've seen some posts from the California Network. I have seen some celebration posts on social media from even Canada. They are having their National Horticulture Therapy Week this week as well. It aligns this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our national organization, the American Horticultural Therapy Association, announced that 20% off for new members for this month, which is awesome.
Yeah. That's definitely loud and clear, everybody. So this month of March, if you are interested in becoming a member, you don't have to be a horticultural therapist, but just being a member of the American Horticultural Therapy Association to support the activity of horticultural therapy. If you want to be a member, it's 20% off this month to purchase a membership. And that membership is going to be fantastic for knowing about what's going on in the country, about horticultural therapy events, learning more, having access to the publications about horticultural therapy and therapeutic horticulture. So there's so many great benefits and just also to be included in the community. So consider that. That would be a great way to honor Horticultural Therapy Week as well.
Yeah, definitely. Membership and then as a nice donation is, it is a nonprofit organization. You can, pretty sure, you can write that off on your taxes too. Like any other nonprofit.
Oh, yeah.
You like donate to, you know, like you donate to a nonprofit. That's what So that is National Horticultural Therapy Week. If you want to send your stuff into the National Association, I believe they still are accepting, hey, what are you doing for, you know, they kind of like an update kind of thing. I don't see it.
So Aaron and I also just wanted to feature or, you know, recognize those schools and educational programs that students or anybody interested in learning how to become a horticultural therapist and get some of the training. We wanted to feature those programs that provide that service, that training, that education. So you and I did the amazing Horticultural Therapy Institute, which is accredited through Colorado State University.
I believe that's still how it works for them too. You get your credits through the Colorado State, your college credits. And that is one of the organizations and schools that is accredited by the HTA. And then that's in Colorado, but I think they also obviously now do, I did mine in Colorado, but I think now they do obviously online. I think Christine and Rebecca were saying, but
they split it down the middle for the most part, where they'll have they'll have their classes online and in person. So, so if you can't go to the actual locations in person, they do have the remote learning or the online learning option too.
And then we have Delaware Valley University in Pennsylvania. And
you wouldn't think it's in Pennsylvania. You'd think it's in Delaware, but it's actually in Pennsylvania.
No, the Delaware Valley.
I know.
It's where the Delaware River dumps out, no?
Delaware River Gap, right? Yeah.
And where I'm from, Delaware County, New York, that's where the Delaware River starts and originates.
Oh, wow. Way up there.
Yeah, the East Branch and the West Branch. And then they come together and then they flow down there to the Delaware Valley Gap. A little geography lesson for you guys. And then we have Rutgers University in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
We have Temple University in Pennsylvania. Right?
Yeah. And then one of our guests, Lee Deal, also known as Elizabeth Deal. She is the director of the horticultural therapy program at the University of Florida. So they also have a program. And Lee was an amazing guest amongst also Christine and Rebecca from HTI. So we've had a number of guests who are actually part of these university programs as well.
Yep. And we have, and we've had University of Tennessee at Knoxville, Derek.
Yep.
That's one of the newer programs. And we've had actually Peg Schofield of Temple. We've had Gary of Rutgers. Oh, what we're missing is Delaware Valley.
We need somebody from Oregon State.
There's no Oregon State.
Looks like here we need somebody from Oregon State still, because there's Oregon State University has a degree program in therapeutic horticulture. It's a concentration in therapeutic horticulture. And then
not an accredited program.
Why is it on the education list right here? College and university programs. Maybe it's not accredited, but it is on the building block opportunities.
Right. There are more. So there are more places you can go. Tennessee Tech.
Right.
Or State, there are places that have coursework.
Right.
But they're not accredited, which means, I don't know. Like accredited, like BAM, they're going to be counted. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, but you can get your prerequisite degree.
You can still take your
prerequisite classes there and then finish up through the program like HTI or UF or something.
Don't quote me on any of this, but I believe you can be taking like coursework at Colorado State and Oregon State University. Those classes will be or are usually accepted.
Right.
But that's another thing too. The HTA also approved approval for like coursework approval.
Right, exactly.
So, and
yeah.
That's something new the HTA did this year too. So that will be out soon so that you'll know a little bit more easier. I can take this course or I can take that course. And it'll be accepted because there's so many other classworks that you can do courses that you need to do for your HTR.
Right.
It's going above and beyond your certificate in horticultural therapy, and it's going to get more education, more training.
Yeah. So in that vein, I think I would love to give example of how I, you know, went through the process of getting my certificate and then professional registration. Was I had completed a horticulture degree, an associate's horticulture degree, and at a community college. And then I was very interested in getting the formal training of horticultural therapy classes. And I did that through the satellite program of HTI, which was four intensive classes. And I did those in person. So wherever they were hosting them, Colorado, California, and Massachusetts at that time. And then to complete any of my social science classes, such as psychology 101 or abnormal psychology. So I got those two. And then as well as I had a bachelor's degree in human behavior communications to begin with. So piling all of those prerequisites and then the horticultural therapy training, I was able to have that in my packet to submit into the professional registration application, along with 480 hours of supervised internship from Aaron Backus. Thank you very much. And that was my package. So everybody may have a different little bit of package of how they get their horticultural therapy training. And then if they choose to become registered as a professional horticultural therapist. So that's just a snippet. You had a little bit of a different variation of that. You want to give everybody a little...
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. You can also go back to the first episodes and we talk about our things there as well. I have my undergraduate degree in ornamental horticulture or plant science, concentration in ornamental horticulture, bachelor's. And then after my bachelor's, I went back to school. Well, I worked a few years and then went back to school for horticultural therapy and did my coursework at HTI first. And then I moved in New York, I just took a bunch of, I needed like a lot of the psychology, a lot of the human service, human science coursework. So I did all that through like SUNY online, State University of New York online, got all that done. So I had a scatter kind of thing too, getting all those courses. I did like, I think I did like, Cayuga Community College. I did Delhi, you know, I did a bunch of different ones through SUNY online. And then I did my internship and then my packet was sent in. So,
yeah. So, and then, so if you have a more human science background, then it may have a different portfolio of how you get your education and training done. But it's what I really appreciate is that there is a chance for people to adapt what the criteria requests. So, you know, it's adaptive to a timeline. It's adaptive to taking classes at various different programs in order to make sure that you can fulfill those qualifications. So, requirements.
And I think that they're always learning too, the AHTA, and always trying to get better. But I think there are so many pathways, sometimes it can be confusing for people.
Yeah.
So you just have to try and like look through the website and really read through things and talk to HTs and see how they got theirs.
Yeah.
Share with other people, because I do know a lot of people have trouble. So like I couldn't imagine trying to get my coursework in horticulture if I already didn't have that degree.
Yeah.
Because unlike the psychology and things like that, those things are easily adaptable to take it online. Maybe now, because of the pandemic, they do have coursework online for horticulture. But before, I mean, my degree was all hands-on. I couldn't see how they could put that online.
And I personally think, I don't know how people can learn horticulture all online, because so much of it is about the experience of working with the plants and the soil. So it seems pretty amazing that people can grab it. So I just would encourage.
I don't know. Can they?
I would encourage people to have the in-person experience as much as possible. So.
Yeah. So definitely talk with people about that. If, you know, where'd you go get your horticulture coursework? I know a lot of you Mainers got it. Where'd you go through again?
Where did I go? Where?
To get your horticulture.
Oh, Southern Maine Community College.
Yeah. I think a lot of people like, I think I could be wrong, but if I remember, Kathy took coursework there.
Kathy did. Colleen completed her horticulture curriculum there.
You're up in the New England, Maine area. There's definitely abilities there.
Yeah. But yeah. And so another thing we wanted to do this evening too is just, you know, identify how horticultural therapy has been around for so long. You know, it's something I've been talking to with people lately, is just the active engagement that horticultural therapy employs and how that is somewhat different from the passive engagement therapies that are out there as well. But I just find that the engagement with working with the soil, with working with the plants, is a chance for people to realize their potential and their ability to do the nurturing process, and to get them out of their mind, of themselves, of their ego, and just have an outlet. So anyway, so horticultural therapy has really been around for centuries. It's just been the fact that it's not been recognized in a clinical format until essentially the 40s and 50s, in response to taking care of veterans after, you know, going through post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, from all of the disastrous trauma that they experienced in during war. So seeing it there, and then the government, you know, identifying the value of it. Still not necessarily streamlined in the insurance world yet, but hopefully someday we will. But it is really, I'm just excited by it. I know firsthand at where I work at Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, there is a growing interest and a growing awareness about it. And
that's nice to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, I think people just don't realize how long it has been around. It's just been kind of like this under the covers kind of thing that it's just not as realized and mainstream.
Right. Well, we are celebrating 50 years. The Horticultural Therapy Association is celebrating 50 years this year. It's really going to be, from what I hear, a really awesome virtual conference. So, but there's still time to put.
Oh, so it is going to be a virtual conference this year?
It is, yep.
Oh.
They published that a while ago. Where have you been, girl?
I've been sunk into education of horticulture general classes. So sorry.
RFPs are still available to be submitted, I believe. But virtual, October 20 and 21st, cultivated 50 years.
Okay. And that's a conference that anybody can register for to also get a sense of what, definitely, you know, what the organization is all about and what the practice is, so that if you're still interested in knowing some more, this is a conference that is available to the general public as long as you register officially.
And like all around the world too. And so that's what's awesome about, I helped out in the 2021 conference, the International People's Plant Council and the HTA. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing to see so many people from around the world come together and get to see faces and people. So while last year was so good to hug people and see people in person, I loved it too. It also is, you know, doing virtual also allows us to get more
reach,
awareness out there, more reach, to see more people that can't go to like in-person conferences. So
the virtual. Well, and if it can increase partnership relationships, that's so important, you know, increasing those relationships with different, like similar network partners, you know? So I think that could be a continued advantage. But I mean, I do hope that maybe it will be an every other year scenario where they'd have the conference in person and then virtual alternating.
No.
But, and that's something. So Aaron had talked a little bit about how we have, in the United States, I don't know how, what they have it structured in Canada necessarily or Australia, but we have regional networks, of horticultural therapy. So, Aaron has been the long lasting president of the Northeast Horticultural Therapy Network.
Long lasting. Lorraine was much longer than me.
Well, yes, that's true.
But I've been, it's been a while. I'm looking to pass the torch, you know, but, for now I am the president of the Northeast Horticulture Therapy Network. We're small but mighty. We have a fun time when we get together.
Yeah.
And this year, I just put out the calendar for HT pop-ups. So last year, we started HT pop-ups or pop-up HTs, whatever you want to call it. And so this year, there's going to be a great lineup. We're going to go see the Trilliums at Garden in the Woods.
Oh, good.
We're going to go see the Lilacs at the Arnold Arboretum. We have in store a working workshop up at Rest Stop Ranch with one of our members, Mary McDonald, where we're going to go help her out in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then July, we're going to go see the rhododendrons at the Rhododendron State Park.
Yeah, so I was curious about that. They're not going to be blooming in July.
But that's not, according to their website, and according to Lynn, that's the time this particular species of rhododendron blooms.
So they must have rhododendron maximums, which are the later July, early July bloomers. Okay, that's cool. That's our native rhodies then.
Yep. So they have, I guess, the majority of them, and that's what's up there basically. Is you the best prime time, that's when you go. So we're going to try to make it up. I mean, we're definitely going to make it up there, and pop-ups are just gatherings. If you want to come. If not, no worries. We just go and we have fun and gather and hang
out.
Maybe
we could schedule one the time that Horticultural Therapy Institute is at the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, October 12th to the 15th.
I can understand that you wanted to do that, but you're going to shoot yourself in the foot with that many people there. You're going to be like, why did I say yes? I'm like, Irene, I told you to say no. Like, it's a great idea, but I mean,
if we have students who want to connect with NEHTN but they also want to take the class, you know?
This is
the fundamentals of horticultural therapy class through HTI. And it's happening in person at the Botanical Gardens in Booth Bay on October 12th to the 15th. So if anybody would like to get their feet wet into or test the waters, as we like to say, that would be a good opportunity to do so, because guess what? We're on the coastline, so the ocean is right there too.
It is a pretty time of year up there at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Send me the date so I remember, and then I'll put it on our calendar if you want me to do that.
Okay. Yeah. So in that vein, you know,
I know,
as you guys listen to this and you hear that we have, what'd you say?
Big plug for NEHDN, but yeah, you know, we're kind of a little biased, you know?
But as you guys hear this, you'll understand that if you can, in your area, look for a regional network of horticultural therapy. So there's Mid-Atlantic. I know there's California. There must be something in North Carolina,
yep,
right?
There's the Carolinas. Yep. That's North Carolina, South Carolina. Yep.
Yeah.
There's the Rocky Mountain network now. It's all like up there in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado and all them. Really, really wonderful group. And then there's the Florida Horticulture for Health Network. Right. Michigan, of course. Michigan's been around just close as much as HTA has been around, very close in timeline.
Yep.
Anything
in like New Mexico or Texas or anything?
Not from my awareness, but if someone, you know, if people are down there and want to start a network, I think that HTA does kind of give them guidelines on how to start a network if you guys want to do one down there. And then there, I don't know if the Northwest is still active anymore, but there was a big one up there at one
point. Oh yeah, Oregon, right? Yeah, there was a huge one in Oregon.
If you guys are still active in hearing this, let us know. We would love to connect with you and say hi.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's also a great networks. So we
If you're also not familiar, or you guys have a plug that you want us to consider, please, you know, message us on our Instagram page. What is our Instagram page link?
I'll put it in the post on this podcast, but I also will tell you when we get there. But I do want to say one more thing is that, you know, we always encourage not just regional memberships and active, but also the national membership and being active with them.
Yes, those are two different memberships and entities.
It's the AHA moment underscore HT.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's our Instagram page.
Yeah. And it's fairly new, so we're working on getting posts up there and stuff like that. But if you have any ideas about people that you want to hear, or we can try to get on, or if you want to share your story as a horticulture therapist, let us know.
Yeah, or send us a photo or something and we can post it on.
Yeah.
So I also just wanted to, I asked Erin if she'd be up for this, and I'd love to share our goals for this year. Just a couple. I know we probably have more than just a couple in general, but what are a couple goals of yours and the fact that you're also in a new venture right now, Erin?
I it caught me by surprise. Honestly, I wasn't planning on. It's called the, I don't even know where I work right now. I'm just joking. It's called the Home for Little Wanderers. They have places all around the Massachusetts. And then there's some in New Hampshire. There's some in New York. This particular one I'm working for is called the Clifford Academy. It is a fairly, it's very new program. It reopened a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. The building, it is a special education school here in Massachusetts. And I will be developing and implementing and running the vocational horticulture program for the students there. So there's also culinary vocational, and then there's also machinery shop vocational. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to, my goals this year, there's so many goals that I want to get at and some things I want to reach for. Of course, as a nonprofit, and of course, I have to get into the grant writing and grant. Mm-hmm. Well, we have help supposedly and in that field, but I have to find grants and things like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to be, but you know, thrifty, which most HTs are. Worry thrifty, right?
Exactly.
We can make it work.
We have to be resourceful with our minimum budgets.
But I guess a big goal of mine this year is just to get it up and running, to have some kind of growth in the garden. We have this big, it's just a big plot of land. It's fenced in. It has some blueberry bushes, things like that. It has an old orchard. It used to be an old like farm, the whole property.
Yeah.
So there's even an old sugar shack. I haven't even attempted to go in there yet and see what's there.
That's going to be exciting. That will be a big project.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's further down the line, but get some things growing, get the kids excited about, or not even, I'll even take awareness of like plants and how plants affect their life, how the cotton shirt they're wearing is because of a plant, because what they ate today for lunch was because it is a plant, you know, like to have them form that connection.
Yeah.
But a big goal of mine is to get a hydroponic system up and running.
Oh my gosh. I have a guy for you. I have a connection for you, and I won't say his name on here right now, but I will tell you about him later on. But he's in Massachusetts. He has implemented aquaponics in his high school science curriculum, and he's retiring and wants to basically demonstrate and teach other programs on how to implement aquaculture systems into that. Oh my God, Aaron, he is going to be there for you. You would love it. He came to our actual last pop-up at CMBG for Northeast Horticulture.
Oh, I missed it. I was so upset. Oh, good. Yeah.
So don't let me forget about that. But
okay. Yeah. So that's a big goal of mine this year, is to get a system up running. It is such an industry that's up and coming, and there's so many hydroponic places around the Massachusetts area. Mm-hmm. And so just teaching them that and get it running and also get the garden, at least the cut flower bed, done.
Yeah. So. Well, you're at a perfect time of the year when it's just all about getting plants to grow. And so there's going to be a lot of buzz and a lot of
germination. Doing it on no budget.
No budget. But put it. Hey, people
want it, like, hey, if you have stuff, I will come and get it. I'm in the Northeast. I'm in the New England. I'll come get it. I'll come divide your perennials. I'll, Think of me when you're dividing your perennials. Think of me.
Yeah. We're all about humility here. We all definitely sell ourselves on this level for plants and supplies.
Give me that mint you don't want. Give me that lemon balm. I'll take it. I got a lot of space to fill.
Yeah. Everything from egg cartons to plastic pots to the soil media that you don't use anymore.
You should have seen the stuff I brought into the school last Monday. It was just a whole bucket of like old Chinese food containers, old plastic salad containers, old toilet paper rolls, you know, the inserts, you know. I'm like, this looks like garbage. I'm like, no, these are plant containers. You have no idea. This is a watering can. It's a milk jug. You know what's great in a watering can? And they have tops, are those OJ gallon jugs.
Yeah.
And they have tops. It doesn't do any spillage. You can handle them easily. Best watering thing ever.
Oh, that's a good idea. And it's got the handle that's nicely placed. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Cool.
Anyways.
Well,
those are my goals. What are your goals, Irene?
Well, I just want to congratulate you first on getting that job, and the fact that you're going to work with some people who may not see the light right away. And I hope you have some persistence and perseverance at your
Yes, I'm getting back into working with the same population I worked with at Green Chimneys.
Yep, yep.
And even at Silver Hill too. I had the youth at that location too. So this is
that's good.
Yeah,
but you're acquainted with that population as far as it's not a flip of the switch experience. So
takes time. Yeah.
And so, yeah, for me, I work with a variety of populations at Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, and I'm really thrilled. I think one of my goals has already been somewhat accomplished, which was requesting support for my program, additional staffing support. So we will be running our second year of having an intern this year.
Awesome.
For the professional registration. But alongside this young person, we'll also be having, I'll have somebody helping 2 days a week. So I'm really, really thrilled to get that little bit of support. Anything is better than nothing. And what I'm hoping that this person will do is help me actually extend the reach and building the awareness about horticultural therapy to healthcare and assisted living facilities and vocational programs in, you know, a 60-mile radius. Because that's basically, people travel from 60 to 80 miles to come to the gardens. And I mean, there'll be people who are 20 miles, but there's only so many populations who will do that. So who are around that close. So yeah, we have to broaden our exposure. Let's put it that way. And then with that, it's essentially just having more groups coming to the gardens who actually will come on a recurring basis, is not just on a one-time basis, but as I just said, you know, I may have to have those one-timers to get them baited in, and then I hook, line, and sinker.
But it is true that it's probably the favorite part of their week, that, you know, is driving down the 60 miles, 80 miles they have to one way. And but it's the best part of their week probably.
So that's a huge goal, is just kind of having that support and then getting the awareness increase. And then filling in some more of the scheduling times for programs. Last year we had a good number, but since COVID, it's been a really hard hit on us. So we are just basically regenerating from that time. And I'm hoping that we'll also continue to see if we can get the indoor capacity to happen in the off season, quote unquote, the non-growing season outside. So,
because you have a big chunk of non-growing time up there, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Basically November till end of October to April. but the growing, like you're saying, like doing the hydroponics, but I don't have an indoor facility that accommodates or has space for that. So we would need to find a partner in that capacity if we were to offer something like that. So we'll see. But I, you know, as you used to practice in the most vacant, small, white-walled building spaces, like, we take what we can get, you know, and
we make it work, and we make it wonderful.
We make it work, exactly. So, but yeah, and I'm just really looking forward to the plant palette this year. I got some great veggies and herbs.
Oh. And
I'm looking forward to it. And I've got the vertical gardens.
I think I'll have
new vertical garden systems rebuilt, because the ones that we have right now are starting to rot and lean forward, and not we don't want them falling on the people.
I know. You couldn't. Listen, you can't see me.
You couldn't see Erin, anybody, but she was playing Leaning Tower of Pisa, falling over. So
awesome. I'm so glad you got the help. You've been help me help you, man. Come on.
Yeah.
You got some help.
Yeah. Maybe next year it'll be 3 days a week, but for now.
And I know your help. It's going to be wonderful. It'll be so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, if you guys have any goals that you want to share with us on the Instagram or, you know, responding to the Podbean or podcast, we'd love to hear from you guys. So
yeah, we are so thankful for all of our listeners. We have 40 followers. We have over 1,000 downloads now, which is awesome.
Yay.
We had downloads from all over the world. And we just hopefully keep on growing and growing because of you. So please keep sharing, keep liking, keep talking about us, keep bringing us ideas about people you want to hear their story from. Listen to all of our 32 podcasts. We have some great ones. We're on season 4 right now. And hopefully this year will be a good lineup of people.
Great. And if you have if you know somebody who is a horticultural therapist and you want to help them out, any little bit of volunteer service does such a great deal for all of us. So,
plants,
think of it that way too. Yeah. Yeah.
Give me vines. Give me pull herbs. I don't even care.
Aaron's begging. Okay.
No worries.
I love it. So yeah, well, hey, gardeners by default are those who love to share plants, you know, cuttings or seed or flowers, whatever. So it's a natural course of action to share the supplies in our community. So have a wonderful March, everybody, and happy spring 2023. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Bye-bye.
Night.